Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and we're talking about the Detroit Pistons every single day. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, follow the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, where I'm trying to keep up with all things Detroit Pistons news and views on there as well. The Pistons play on Wednesday night tonight on the road against the Dallas Mavericks at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time at the American Airlines Center. We're going to tell you all you need to know about the Dallas Mavericks in addition to the big Pistons injury news, some bad news on Tuesday that came out, and also talk about Stan Van Gundy's one non-regret from Sunday's win against the Orlando Magic. But it is Wednesday, and you know what that means. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft.com and the Draft app are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people that have already downloaded Draft to play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPISTONS, all capital letters there, LOPISTONS. That's right. Play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPISTONS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering listeners of Locked On Pistons a money-back guarantee of up to $100. So just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code LOPISTONS. We got the Draft Wednesday contest for Locked On Pistons started right now already. So if you follow me on the app at Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, I will invite you into the exclusive Locked On Pistons draft where you can play against all Pistons fans, and it's a good time every Wednesday. But the biggest news that I would be remiss if I didn't mention is that somebody stole Charlie Villanueva's toilet. The former Piston great is on Twitter at CVBelieve tonight on late Wednesday night, and he's complaining that the Dallas Police Department isn't responding to a robbery at his house. He posted a picture of his toilet missing from his bathroom. So like I mentioned, he lives in Dallas now. He called the cops, but you know who else is in Dallas this weekend or this week? Your Detroit Pistons. So I wonder, got me to thinking, maybe we can help out the Dallas Police Department a little bit by giving some clues on who might be the culprits. And if the Pistons are in town and Charlie Villanueva's toilet is stolen, maybe it's some kind of genius metaphorical joke that someone's playing on there. But it has to be someone that's been involved with the organization since back when Charlie Villanueva was playing. And there's not many of those in the Joe Dumars days, holdovers into the Stan Van Gundy era. In fact, ownership's changed, presidents changed, coaches changed, all the players have changed. Mike Abdenauer's gone, for crying out loud. You don't even know who these guys are anymore. But there is one person, and I don't know if George Blaha is traveling with the team for this road game or not, but maybe Rick Mahorn, if he's doing radio for the Dallas game. I don't know if Greg Kelser's traveling this week, maybe Mark Champion, some of those guys. I'm looking at the broadcasters because those guys had to sit through a lot of Charlie Villanueva games, and I could see a guy like Blaha kind of making a little bit of a metaphorical move there by stealing the toilet to kind of prove that a point that Charlie Villanueva's toilet, maybe he doesn't even deserve to have a toilet or something like that. So Dallas Police Department, if you're listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast, which I know that you normally do, there's some clues to trying to maybe get you started. But more news from the Pistons that is even crappier than Charlie Villanueva missing his crapper is that Avery Bradley, the starting shooting guard for the Pistons, he will be out at least another week with his groin injury before he gets examined once again. A quick plug here that Pistons fans should be following Sham Moheel, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing Shamik's name, but he's the editor of Piston Power. He seems like, I don't know if he's a doctor. He's a young guy. I don't know if he's a doctor or if he's just has a medical background or studying to be a doctor or something like that, but he knows a lot about injury news, and Sham was kind of giving his idea. Stan Van Gundy talked to the media on Tuesday after practice and mentioned that it's something like sports hernia, but he wasn't able to expound pretty much after that about what's going on with Avery. It's a groin injury, and Sham worried that it might be a thing called osteitis pubis, And by the way, that was also my nickname in high school. So Mr. Pubis is what they called me back in the day. But like Stan Van Gundy said, it was a similar pain to sports hernia, and that he will have to rest it. And Sham was saying that they'd have to rest it quite a bit before trying out anything else for a while. And that, you know, it might even be a little bit of a serious thing if it's not treated anytime soon. It could end up impacting his season and his career a little bit. So best, especially when we're talking about late December and the dog days of the season in some ways, to kind of just let him sit for a while and try to get healthy. And in the meantime, Pistons fans can expect to see a healthy dosage of Luke Kennard, among others. Luke has been starting the last couple games, and he'll be in the starting lineup, I would imagine, in Dallas tonight. And the Pistons will be shutting Avery Bradley down for a week, which means you have to find a way to somehow guard some of those good perimeter players that he would be keying on. The good news is the Pistons aren't playing a lot of very talented players in the next week or so. Wes Matthews would probably be the player that Bradley would be up against tonight in Dallas, and he's not exactly a huge shooting threat, scoring threat, ever since he had his Achilles injury a couple years back. The Pistons will then be playing the Knicks on Friday night, and they'll be coming off of a back-to-back on Thursday against Boston. Tim Hardaway Jr. is out. He's not going to be playing in that game. He's kind of their best perimeter scorer. He won't be going up against his dad, who is a Pistons assistant, Tim Hardaway Sr. And the good news is the Pistons might even be off the hook on Porzingis. He hasn't played the last couple of games because of a knee injury, although they're thinking he'll probably be back for Thursday and possibly Friday as well. But again, a back-to-back could mean that they're off the hook with Porzingis there. And then the night after Christmas, the Pistons would play in Victor Oladipo and the Indiana Pacers. That might be a game where Bradley's presence could be missed. So we're talking about the Tuesday night after Christmas. Maybe the Pacers could have a little bit of a leg up in that game if Bradley's out again against them. The Pistons will have Orlando again after that. And there's just not a whole lot to be worried about with that team in general, unless they get some of those guys that were out injured on Sunday. If they get some of those guys back, then maybe Avery Bradley's presence would be forgot or would be missed in that one against San Antonio on the Saturday night before New Year's after that. But their strength is not really in perimeter scoring. It's actually quite the opposite. They got Kawhi back now, but they're kind of centered on LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. And their perimeter players really aren't the thing that gets their team going. And Danny Green can shoot, and Tony Parker. But, you know, like I said, it's fortunate for the Pistons that they're in a stretch of the schedule where Avery Bradley's presence might not be as missed as it might be a little bit later on in the season. But we're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks and everything you need to know. What the hell happened to the Dallas Mavericks? They're now one of the worst teams in the NBA. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 to 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want the coveted demo of men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir!
We're going to talk a little bit about Stan Van Gundy's mistake that he won't quite call a mistake. But first of all, the Dallas Mavericks. What happened to you, Dallas Mavericks? They are 8-23, the worst record in the Western Conference, including 6-11 at home. They just lost to the Phoenix Suns on Monday. The point spread, according to Vegas, there's no line a couple of places, and it's probably because of an important injury that we'll talk about in a couple minutes, and it's not the Avery Bradley injury for the Pistons. But some of the places have the line listed at 2.5 points in favor of Detroit. So if you take into consideration the three-point bounce that the home team usually gets, then Vegas seems to think that Pistons are about 6 points better than the Mavericks on a neutral court. The Mavericks have lost six of their last seven games, but most of those have been to pretty good teams until the Phoenix loss. But they had a recent win in that stretch against San Antonio, although the Spurs got revenge a few nights later when Manu Ginobili turned back the clock for a couple of great plays late in the game to steal a victory from the Mavericks in San Antonio. But Dennis Smith Jr., the point guard for the Mavericks, who was all the rage in summer league, has been playing really well early on in the season, but he's got a hip injury right now and has missed the last six games. Coach Rick Carlisle, yes, Rick Carlisle, said Monday that it's possible that Dennis Smith Jr. could return to the lineup on Wednesday, tonight, against the Pistons. Smith is a starter and definitely the future of their team, the NC State player who played 1 year for the Wolfpack and almost slipped to the Pistons in the draft. It was one of those guys that we were hoping would fall to the Pistons, although the Pistons got a pretty good player in Luke Kennard, so don't forget that. But like we talked about, Rick Carlisle, an old friend alert. And if you would have said that he would last 10 years with any team after the unceremonious way that the Pistons front office kind of not only fired him, but also kind of smeared his name a little bit on the way out. That always felt kind of icky about that. And I'm sure that Pistons fans will probably at least agree with me somewhat that the smear job that was done on Rick Carlisle was a little bit uncomfortable, if nothing else. A lot of talk about how he wasn't friendly enough to office staff and that kind of thing. And I don't know. There wasn't a lot of basketball conversation going on, although we figured pretty much that Joe Dumars and Bill Davidson, whoever else was in charge at that time, Tom Wilson or whoever, wanted Larry Brown, saw that opportunity and kind of did whatever they could do to get that position opened up, although it wasn't fair to Carlisle, who has enjoyed a lot of success since leaving Detroit. He won a championship with Dallas as they beat LeBron James in the Heat a few years back, his third year in Dallas, I believe. He also spent 4 years in Indy as the head coach after being fired by the Pistons, and he's 18th all-time in coaching wins, has more than 700 regular season victories, and that's third on the active list as far as coaches behind Greg Popovich and Doc Rivers. By the way, Stan Van Gundy is sixth on that active list right now, as he also trails Nate McMillan and Mike D'Antoni as well. So Carlisle and Van Gundy, a couple of veteran coaches going at it. But as far as on the court as well, Harrison Barnes is their best player right now ever since he left the Golden State Warriors and was picked up in a free agent signing by Dallas. At kind of a low point for Barnes. He was kind of a punchline for some of those Warriors teams. I think his last year was the year that LeBron and the Cavs won the championship against Golden State, and Harrison Barnes was a little bit of a scapegoat in some of those times. He had a way of disappearing with Golden State, but he's been very good since joining the Mavericks. Had a nice summer with the Olympic team last year in Brazil as well. He's getting 18.7 points a game this year, playing really well. But there's just not a lot of talent there. I mean, they got guys like J.J. Barea, Devin Harris, and the legend Dirk Nowitzki. They're still major parts of that team. And to say that those guys who were on that championship team many years back for the Mavericks against the Heat back then are still big-time players for them, that's probably not a very good sign for you. There's just not a lot of talent for Rick Carlisle. There's a huge rebuilding process ahead for that team. Like we mentioned earlier, Wesley Matthews is the starting two guard for them. He hasn't really stepped up as much as they would have hoped when they signed him as a free agent as well. And then they've got Yogi Ferrell at point guard as well. And we'll see plenty of him in tonight's game, especially if Dennis Smith Jr. is not able to come back. But like we mentioned, Stan Van Gundy admitted that if he had to do something over again, he probably would have in Sunday's game against Orlando. And we'll talk about that here in a second as well. Before we get to Van Gundy's mistake, or whatever he wants to call it at this point, we'd be remiss as Pistons fans if we didn't talk about and mention. And as a Pistons fan yourself, you have the responsibility to go onto the NBA TV Twitter feed and also or the NBA.com website and check out highlights or watch the full interview between Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. Lots of memories of days gone by. They did a show on NBA TV called Players Only Monthly that aired on Tuesday night. A lot, the two best friends from way back in their playing days have not talked in many years. There's a little bit of animosity between them, part of it stemming from the Dream Team fiasco from 1992, where Isaiah Thomas didn't end up on the team. And in the Jackie McCallum Dream Team book, which I read a couple years ago, and it's an outstanding book, by the way, Magic Johnson was quoted as saying nobody wanted to play with him, pretty much pointing out the truths of the things that were happening with Michael Jordan kind of not wanting to play with him, Scottie Pippen, Karl Malone, others that didn't want Isaiah Thomas on that Dream Team. And also, as they talked about in the lead up to the interview, about how Magic was hurt from some of the post-HIV announcement that he had. There were a lot of rumors flying around that Isaiah was talking behind his back about a lot of things, including questioning his sexuality or not really having his back as a friend as far as some of the other NBA elite players at the time were, you know, having Magic's back, and Isaiah was somewhat estranged from him. At this time, keep in mind that the Lakers versus Pistons rivalry was flowing at its highest peaks in the 89, 90, 91 time that we're talking about the Dream Team and Magic's diagnosis and announcement as well. But the interview itself between Magic and Isaiah, it had its emotional and poignant moments. They both broke down crying at one point when Magic apologized for his role in them not being friends over the last couple years. They also talked quite a bit about the pain of losing, as Magic and the Lakers lost to Bird and the Celtics, as did the Pistons for a couple of years in the Eastern Conference playoffs as well. And then obviously Isaiah and the Pistons ultimately overcame not only Bird and the Celtics, but Magic and the Lakers as well. But they also talked about why the Pistons didn't three-peat after the two championships in 89 and 90. Of course, Michael Jordan and the Bulls had a lot to do with that, but Isaiah Thomas had a couple of stories about that as well. But they said that this players-only monthly thing will continue to be a series every month on NBA TV, and I wondered if there will be a Chris Webber moment with Jalen Rose at some point. But I wanted to talk about something that Stan Van Gundy talked about at Tuesday's practice, about Luke Kennard, who, like I said earlier, I figure he'll be starting for Avery Bradley for the next few games at least. And he got the quick hook on Sunday afternoon, against the Orlando Magic. He played under a minute as a starter in his second career start, and Stan Van Gundy pulled him right away and put Stanley Johnson in there. And it turns out he had missed a couple assignments, one offensively and one defensively. He didn't run a play offensively that Stan Van Gundy had called, and also didn't double team someone on the first Orlando possession as well. Van Gundy was quoted as saying, "I should have been that it was his mistake." He said, "Too quick a hook from me." He said, and this is an article from Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press on Freep.com that I'm reading from. Van Gundy said, "I should have been telling him to get his head in the game and let him play through it. The fault is still his. He can't screw those two plays up. He needs to understand that. I'm still on the right that those two plays shouldn't be screwed up. Those are mental mistakes, particularly early, right at the beginning of the game. There's no fatigue." That answer was brought up as one of the reporters were talking about how Stan had mentioned something like that, and then they went back and pressed him on it and said, "So you say that you regret it?" And Van Gundy was having issue with the term regret, as he never said that. And it's just kind of a strange Van Gundy thing, as he's getting defensive about the fact that he was admitting a mistake but not really admitting a mistake, or whatever. I don't know. It's kind of one of those semantical arguments, basically. He goes on later in the article to say, "I've been really hard on him," talking about Luke Kennard, "but the main thing I told him is he's got to get used to it. I think he has a chance to be a really good player. I think I went too far the other day, but often you take these young guys and you make excuses for them and baby them, and then they don't develop the way that they're supposed to do." Well, Stan Van Gundy's a lot of things as a coach and a lot of very good things as a coach, but developing young talent has never been really his strength. So I think that probably, hopefully he had a little bit of introspection and a couple moments of reflection after this episode where he took his rookie guard, who's playing pretty well in his rookie season and his second start of his whole career, he sits him down after under a minute of play against in front of the home fans, the dozens of home fans at Little Caesars Arena. I mean, I think watching that game, we all kind of knew that Van Gundy was overreaching, but at least he's half apologizing publicly to Luke Kennard, and hopefully, and Luke Kennard seems like the type of guy where he's not, it's probably not going to affect him that much, and this simple instance is probably not going to be a big story that we're going to be talking about in the future. But it's just another example of Stan Van Gundy not trusting rookies and not being the nurturing type of coach that sometimes some rookies need. In his time in Miami, time in Orlando, there's not a lot of episodes of guys who were young players that were brought into the organization when Stan was there and were developed with him along the way. That he's one of those old school veteran coaches that doesn't give a lot of leash to the young guys. And just another moment of carelessness, I would say, from the Pistons coach and president with the way he clumsily handled the Luke Kennard situation on Sunday. We'll see going forward if there's any after effects of that and how Luke Kennard's confidence is, especially tonight against Dallas. But then again, as the new year approaches. Although those Duke players and Luke Kennard-type players, I don't think confidence has really been an issue with him and will probably not be throughout his NBA career. But it is Draft Wednesday, so go ahead and join us on the Draft app and draft.com. Use promo code LOPistons when you sign up. This is your host, Matt Shook, and you should be following me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. We got the Twitter feed for the Locked On Pistons podcast as well. Share this podcast with your friends and family. You can subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, visit our website, lockedonpistons.com. I do little write-ups about each of the episodes as well, and we might do a little bit of writing as time goes on too. But thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the game against the Mavericks tonight, and we'll talk to you all soon.